All right. Well, very good. Thank you, everyone. This is the, let's see, this is the October 10th, 2022 meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District Board of Directors. Welcome. And you, this meeting is being held virtually. So anybody in the public will be having an opportunities to address us in a couple of ways. There will be an open public comment session at the beginning of the meeting, and then on items on our agenda, there will be opportunities for people to address us. And if you're on the Zoom call, then you can use the raise hand function. I think it's in the it's down at the bottom of your screen. And if you're calling in, then you also have an opportunity to speak in public. And I think there's do they have to do a *9, Mimi, to do that?
Yes.
*9 to speak to us in public. So let's go ahead and call the roll, and then we'll get into some of the other matters before us.
Okay. Yolo County.
Present.
City of Davis.
I'm here.
City of West Sacramento is absent. City of Winters.
Here.
City of Woodland.
Present.
UC Davis.
Here.
And Caltrans.
Good evening, here.
We have quorum.
Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. Before we begin tonight in our meeting, Autumn suggested that we acknowledge on this day especially the land acknowledgement. So this is Indigenous Day, a day for us to recognize and celebrate those who came before us in this land. And we should take a moment, especially on this day, to acknowledge the land on which we are gathered. For thousands of years, this land has been the home of Patwin people. Today, there are three federally recognized Patwin tribes: Kashil Dehi, Band of Winton Nations of the Colusa Indian Community; Quetzal Dehi, Band of Winton Indians; and the Yocha Dehi Winton Nation. The Patwin people have remained committed to the stewardship of this land over many centuries. It has been cherished and protected, as elders have instructed the young through generations. We are honored and grateful to be here today on their traditional lands. And I will note that this precise wording was specifically approved by the Yocha Dehi Tribal Council on July 23rd, 2019, for use by bodies when they convene to acknowledge the place and the people that come before us. So thank you for that opportunity. And Autumn, thank you very much for the suggestion to bring the land acknowledgement to our board. I appreciate it. So we have now an opportunity for public comments on matters that are on the consent calendar or items not on the agenda, but within the purview of this board. And please note, the board is prohibited from discussing items that are not on our agenda. We will have opportunities for people to address us on specific topics later. So if there are any items on the consent agenda or matters not on our agenda, now is the time for members of the public to address us. Do we have any requests to make public comment?
We do have one request for public comment, and that is Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Very good. And Alan, thank you. You have 3 minutes. I think I see you there. You unmute yourself and you can begin.
Thank you very much. I find it quite unusual that I have 3 minutes of public comment at the board meeting, but only 2 minutes at the Citizens Advisory Committee, which is supposed to be the listening post for the community. That's very unusual. Also comment again that some things cannot be described without pictures. You can't describe a tree without pictures. You can't describe a bus route without pictures. You can't describe a graph without pictures, but the public is not allowed to present pictures to the citizens, to this body. Now, you've heard this before. I don't understand why that is. The California League of Cities says there is likely a right to present pictures, PowerPoints. You are continuing to do these Zoom meetings, which basically restricts public engagement. We are in the background. We can't even see who else is in the room with us. You won't allow us to send pictures. You don't include the pictures I send in your minutes, so they're not even public documents. And I notice the minutes hardly recognize that a public has made a comment. It says, Alan made a public comment. The content of my comment isn't even honored by being reflected in the minute with even a full sentence. I know this body wants to listen to the public. I know you really do. You want the input. I know I'm the one here, but if you want people like me, you want people to participate, you need to basically acknowledge and give us participation. I don't expect more than 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Thank you very much. But wouldn't be, if you really want to respect public input, want to encourage it, I suggest you may want to look inward about the messages you're sending about your procedures. I know they aren't personal, but I think your procedures do not send a message that you really want public input, particularly at the Citizens Advisory Committee. I was told at the Citizens Advisory Committee that they don't believe that their responsibility is to listen to the public. Their responsibility is to be to listen to the executive director. And I believe that actually is a contradiction to the FTA requirement of what the Citizens Advisory is supposed to be. They're supposed to be listening to the public and supposed to be taking public input, not and giving it to the board and to the advisory body, not reporting to the director of the agency. I think you should look inward about the public participation process. I think government is so fragile now. I think you want to basically be inclusive as possible, give people within the constraint of the time you have, be sure that is used as efficiently as possible to listen to the public. Thank you very much for your work. I know your responsibilities are stretched really long. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Are there any other requests for public comment?
There's no more public comments.
Thank you, Mimi. So that brings us to item 3, which is our consent agenda. And before we I'll first ask, is there anyone who'd like to take anything off the consent agenda? And then I have an announcement to share. I don't see anyone. I will say that this is an announcement that we are required to make. There is the First Amendment to the Executive Director's Agreement is on consent this evening. It contains 3 modifications. One, it increases annual compensation from $200,000 to $211,860. Two, it has a lump sum payment in the amount of $3,900 to offset the executive director's unexpected contribution to healthcare coverage and our agency's inability to obtain life insurance at the previously agreed to amount. And 3, deletes any future obligation of the district to provide life insurance for the executive director. More detailed information regarding these changes may be found in the board packet. And Autumn, I see your hand is raised.
Yes, Mr. Chair, as one of the items on the consent calendar is to approve the agenda for this evening. So I wanted to make a suggested change to the agenda to reverse the order of items 5 and 6. Number 6 is the YOLO 80 managed lanes resolutions, and item 5 is the YCT vision values and priorities. We do have a number of people that are here, I think, to talk about item 6, and so my suggestion would be that we take that first.
Okay, so with that modification to the agenda order, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll move to approve the agenda with the change.
Seconded as amended, yeah.
Very good. We have a motion by Director Lauren and a second by Director Frerichs. Please call the roll, Mimi.
Okay. YOLO County?
Yes.
City of Davis?
Yes.
City of West Sacramento is absent. City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passed.
Wonderful. Thank you. So that brings us to item 4, administrative reports. And first, I guess, is board member reports. Is there anyone who'd like to share news or updates? I don't see any hands waving or antics.
I just mentioned, Mr. Chair, that we have a delegation from La Prioridad, Mexico, coming to Woodland Wednesday evening and staying for 5 days. Wow. So we're pretty excited. There's 27 of them coming up. So we have a number of events involving our sister city, and we're just really happy that after this pandemic, we're able to reaffirm that relationship and welcome those people to our community.
What's the name of the city, Tom?
La Prioridad is in Michoacán, Mexico, and Woodland, a very large part of our Hispanic community in Woodland are derived from late family in Mikokan. So that's why it was a logical partner for us.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Matt, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Chair Saylor. Yeah, just to mention about my ongoing ridership of the Causeway Connection from Davis to Sacramento. And it's amazing. From June to this week, I'll report that none of the buses have been behind schedule. They've all been perfectly timed and perfectly pleasant. So thank you for that ongoing service. Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. The testimonial. Anybody else? Okay, Autumn, that's up to you now.
Great. So then the next item on the administrative reports is the ad hoc committee on the 80 managed lanes. But we do have that. We do, of course, have a whole item dedicated to that. So I think we'll skip that for this evening. Mm-hmm. And since I've got the mic, I will go ahead and do my oral report and then hand it over to Michael Klein from TransDev to provide his report. Mm-hmm. So the last written executive director's report just went out on Friday, and I won't rehash anything that's in there other than to say we're just really thrilled to see the increase in ridership on the Route 42 since the changes that were made at the beginning of September. We've saw from the first half of September to the second half of September a 40% increase in weekday trips on the 42 and a 25% increase on the weekends. Some of that is, of course, due to the beginning of fall quarter at UC Davis, but this is a significantly higher bump than we've seen in the past. And we're excited to see how the ridership continues to evolve once we have more data. So I'll just mention that. Again, there's more details in the report that we sent out on Friday if anyone wants to take a look. A couple of quick things to note. We are still in discussion with the City of Winters about potentially taking over management of the El Rio Via to City of Winters 505 pedestrian and bicycle overcrossing to see if we can help with connecting that with our Yahtzee project. And so anyway, discussions on that are ongoing, and we hope to bring an item to you on that at the next board meeting. Also, we are in the midst of looking at service planning for Woodland, both for Woodland Microtransit as well as changes to the 211 and 212, the two current local routes there, both to better align with the future microtransit service to make sure they're complementary, but also to reflect that the changes that we've made to the Route 42 has also changed the timings of that, has broken some of the connections with the 211 and 212 for people who are trying to transfer from the Woodland local to the 42s or vice versa. So we are looking at those issues as well as a potential relocation of the transit center from the County Fair Mall to a downtown Woodland location. So all of that work is underway, led by Eric, our new deputy director, who's here tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting to see that moving forward. And then we are finalizing the scope of work for our YOLO Active Transportation, or Yahtzee program, with Farron Pierce, the consultant that we have selected. So we plan to bring you a contract and scope of work to approve for that item next month. And then finally, we are working on an update to our 12-month goals for the organization. The board adopted those last October. We brought you a 6-month report on how it was going in June. And then at our next meeting, you'll see an update to those goals for the next year, which really provides the foundation for our work plan. So those are a little bit of a highlight, a little bit of a preview of what you'll see coming in the weeks and months to come. Mm-hmm. So with that, unless there's any questions on my report, I will hand it over to Michael to give TransDev's report.
Any questions or comments, colleagues? Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Saylor. Remember last month you had asked if we'd have some more direct numbers on where we're at on our manpower report. Glad to report that, give an idea, we have currently 53 operator bids with 62 total operators employed. 3 of those are on leave, 5 are trainees, and so we currently have 54 available. So we have one more than our actual bids. Come tomorrow, we'll have one additional. Come the following Monday, another one is graduating. They're actually in cadeting service, which means they're going behind the wheel training, and they'll be released on their own within the next days. And then I believe the week after that, we have another one coming out, and the other two will be in the next 3 weeks. So we also are starting a new class on Monday. So it's going there, got traction and going the right direction.
Excellent. That sounds very good.
Yes.
Thank you. Anything further?
No, sir.
Okay. Any questions of Michael? Anybody? I don't see anybody. Okay, very good. Now we have the CAC and TAC meeting minutes. Autumn, do you have anything further to share on that?
Nothing further. We'll be mentioning some of their feedback in the upcoming agenda items.
Okay. And then anything on long range calendar?
I think thank you for pulling it up, Mimi. I think we've talked about most of what's there. But you can just take a look. And if there's any questions, feel free to follow up with me afterwards.
Very good. Okay. So ambitious few months ahead of us.
Indeed.
Thank you. All right. That brings, is there any public comment on any of the reports we've just heard? I don't see any, so we'll move.
I don't have the comments.
Very good. So we'll move now to item 6, the YOLO AD Managed Lane resolution, two resolutions on the MOU and on the funding application. Autumn, go ahead.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just a quick outline. I'm going to give a fair amount of presentation tonight, and also this slide deck will be available on the YCT website for those who, you know, it was not posted with the packet, but it will be available after the meeting. So I'll go ahead to the outline slide, Mimi. So just to share some context, so I'll start with a project overview and kind of a reminder of kind of what it is we're talking about and then how we got here. So the YCT board goals and vision for the project that we articulated earlier this year. And then we'll talk about some of the areas we've been negotiating and discussing with Caltrans, and then finally finish with the staff recommendation before we go to questions and discussion.
The screen is not showing the slideshow, but rather the entire presentation. I wonder if there's if you can modify that, or if it's okay if it can't, but there you go.
Perfect. Thank you. Great. And I will just note too, that Kirk Trost is here with us this evening as well. And he's not going to be presenting our attorney on this project, but he is here with us. And perhaps Mimi, you could promote him to a panelist. And that way, if there are any questions, that the board has for him, yeah, he's available as well. And also want to appreciate Greg Wong for being here from Caltrans District 3 tonight. And of course, Greg is here to answer your questions as well. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. So a reminder, the project area we're talking about is 80 and a segment of 50, for basically from the county line to the county line, and in fact, a little bit over the county lines in both Solano and Sacramento County. So it's the entire length of 80 as it spans YOLO County and then that segment of Highway 50 after it forks in West Sacramento. Next slide. So the project components that are under development as part of this project are one, restriping to add an additional managed lane on the inside shoulder. So we don't actually have to widen any of the structures to accomplish this. There is a very wide shoulder. So essentially what this would be doing is eliminating that shoulder and some of the oleander that exists along it, utilizing the existing footprint. The second item is an auxiliary lane between UC Davis and Richards Boulevard. This is really just making the Richards Boulevard off-ramp, for people that are getting off of 80 at Richards Boulevard. So essentially, where one of the lanes that there's two lanes that disappear between UC Davis and Richards Boulevard, one of those lanes would be continuous and would lead to the off-ramp. The third is improvements to the existing bike path on the causeway. The fourth is intelligent transportation system elements. These are just really, these are things that allow Caltrans and CHP to detect incidents more quickly and then provide information to drivers more quickly so people are aware and able to navigate around them. And then fourth, a potentially new connector ramp at the 8050 interchange in West Sacramento, which would allow cars and managed lanes in that are coming, that are in Sacramento County to go continuously directly onto these new lanes without having to merge over to the right and then merge back over to the left after changing. Next slide. So back in January, we held a workshop where we heard from some guest speakers to talk about kind of the different implications of highway expansion and the potential ways to try to offset some of those impacts. And this was, I think, a really important workshop that helped us kind of solidify the direction that we wanted to go with this project. It was really foundational to many of our conversations. So we heard from Jamie Volker and Amy Lee at UC Davis about the fact that highway expansions lead to more vehicle miles traveled. over the long term, it's about a one-to-one effect. In other words, the more you expand the highway, the more vehicles you're going to get. And so while we see decreases in congestion in the short run, in the long run, you ultimately kind of come back to, where you are currently. Next slide. We talked about the kind of environmental justice and social equity implications of highway widenings. This was a bill by Assemblywoman Christina Garcia to ban freeway expansions in underserved communities. This bill did not make it out this session. It died in, I want to say, July or so. But nonetheless, I think this was kind of a highlighting the fact that this is a controversial issue, particularly when we talk about communities that have been, bearing the brunt, a disproportionate burden of infrastructure projects that benefit everyone, but have direct localized impacts such as air quality in those communities. Next slide. So how do we make a managed lane more climate friendly and equitable? And this is the question that we posed. And we heard from a couple of guest speakers on this topic. So if we go to the next slide. We heard from LA Metro. Mark Linsenmeyer at LA Metro came and spoke about some of the things that they're doing, the use of their toll revenues to try to expand the use of transit. So since 2015, they've provided about $55 million in toll revenues to increase the frequency and span of service of transit on their express lanes. And that goes to four agencies, their own service, as well as three other agencies that use the express lanes. So this is a positive way that they've been able to not only increase the amount of driving on their managed lanes, but also make sure that transit users are benefiting as well and increasing the mode share of transit. Next slide. And also the LA Metro's Transit Rewards Program, which is a pretty interesting program. What it does is after people take 16 transit trips, they get a $5 toll credit for the express lane. So the more you ride transit, then for those times when you do need to use the lanes, you have an incentive. And so this is both kind of an equity strategy as well as a strategy for encouraging people to take transit on the managed lanes. Next slide. And then we also heard a speaker who talked about the San Mateo 101 Express Lanes Equity Program. This is a project that I worked on before joining YCTV. And this is they have actually already now opened the first segment of toll lanes on Highway 101 between San Francisco and San Jose. And the equity program that they've developed provides low-income people who live in their county with an annual $100 on their Clipper card, which is their equivalent of our Connect card. So it's an annual benefit that they receive, and it's a floor, not a ceiling. So as toll revenues go up, the idea is that benefit would go up. And then they also can receive a fast-track toll transponder with a value of $100. This is a one-time benefit. It's meant to help people get over the hurdle of getting one of these transponders because there's an expensive deposit that you need otherwise. And so it's a way to make sure that low-income people who live adjacent to the lanes are actually able to utilize them if they choose. And then the program also promotes enrollment in some of their regional Clipper discount programs, which provide very significant discounts on transit for youth, seniors, and people who are low income. Next slide. So kind of based on some of this, some of the discussion that followed, the board adopted these goals. They were drafted in December and adopted in January. That talked about what we want to achieve with this project. So, supporting achievement of state and regional climate goals by limiting VMT increases, increasing transit mode share, talked about making it easier to ride your bike across the causeway, advancing transportation equity by minimizing the burdens of the project and maximizing the benefits of the project for low-income communities, as well as making sure we're thinking about the impacts to our local communities around cut-through traffic, and how do we make sure we're making it more tolerable to stay on 80 instead of cutting through neighborhoods, particularly in Davis and West Sacramento. Coordinating with our friends in Solano County, because we know that the bottleneck is right there on the border, and wanting to make sure we coordinate with them. And I think lastly, I'll just highlight this, establishing a highway management system that can be replicated and integrated region-wide. This would be the first express lane in the Sacramento region. Something that has been envisioned in SACOG's blueprint, So, you know, that's a responsibility that we have if that's the direction that we go, to make sure that we're doing it in a way that makes sense for the region, and that other places in the region can follow. Next slide. So these are some of the areas of negotiation with Caltrans. Since the board adopted these goals and this vision for the project, we have been meeting with Caltrans regularly for the last 10 months and talking through a number of different issues. And I just kind of quickly run through them, and then I'll expand on some of these in subsequent slides. So the first is our vision of the project, which is a tolled lane with a robust equity program and transit investments funded by toll revenues. I'm happy to say that in that MOU, which we'll get into next, does specifically call out that vision while recognizing that, you know, we cannot prejudge the environmental process and the environmental analysis process, but this is the agreed upon vision that we now share with Caltrans. We've also talked about wanting to have a memorandum of understanding between Caltrans and YCG that, again, kind of reiterates what is our vision and what are our goals for the project. But also, what is the relationship between the two agencies and how do we work together? Because frankly, neither agency can deliver this project without the other, and that partnership is really critical. And so clarifying what that partnership looks like was a key priority for us. And I'm excited that is one of the staff recommendations tonight is your support for the draft MOU that is before you. Third area of negotiation was to revise the notice of preparation under CEQA. Both to reflect this vision around tolling as well as prioritizing climate equity and vehicle miles traveled and reflecting the importance that those issues have for the purpose and need of the project. And then integrating some additional transit supportive elements into the project, like traffic signal priority and a mobility hub in West Sacramento into the scope, which we now have in there. And expanding the bicycle and pedestrian improvements in the scope. And I'll pause on this one for just a moment, because we're not going to talk much more about bicycle and pedestrian improvements. But just to say that the original vision for this project, of course, was a dedicated separate new bike path across the Yolo bypass. That is not part of what we have negotiated here. What we decided to focus on instead was how do we make the existing bike path more safe, more user-friendly, and more pleasant experience. And so those are some of the improvements that we have here. There are other outstanding areas of negotiation. So, you know, we're not done. This project is by no means done. We have plenty of work ahead of us. But I think this is, I'm excited at the start that we've made, and I'll just mention a few of the other things that, you know, we've noted we were very interested in the idea of studying conversion of a general purpose lane to a toll lane. That's something that is currently not adopted Caltrans policy, and it has not yet been done anywhere in the state. But it is something we want to keep our eye on and continue to explore to see if it's feasible in the future. The next item that we need to continue to discuss is, oops, sorry, stay on that slide for one more moment. Is the use of toll revenue. How would toll revenue be used? You know, we think it's important to fund transit and equity, but that's something that, you know, the uses of toll revenue would need to be determined down the road. Kind of hand in hand with that is the establishment of a tolling authority and governance structure for the project to, you know, understand who's managing this thing, who's making decisions about kind of how much the tolls are, what the hours of operations are, how the funding would be used. These are all key considerations. What technology are we asking people to use? Etc. So those are all issues that we will have to determine. And then how do we fully fund and construct the project? And that's an outstanding issue, although a big leap forward with the other staff recommendation tonight, which we'll get into in a moment. Next slide. So just to explore a little bit on this memorandum of understanding that's before you tonight. So it does articulate our vision of this being a tolled managed lane with a robust equity program and transit investments funded by toll revenues. It clarifies that Caltrans remains lead agency. However, YCTD will review administrative drafts before they are made public. This is particularly for the environmental document, but also mitigation and monitoring plan. Caltrans will approve the final project scope, budget, and funding summary, and YCTD has the right to approve. We will jointly pursue funding, and cooperative agreements will govern the expenditures of funds received. And this includes the $84 million infra grant that we have currently. We will be developing a cooperative agreement that explicitly lays out how those funds will be expended. And then it establishes a commitment to ongoing coordination between YCT and Caltrans at senior leadership levels. Next slide. So the revised notice of preparation, it does now include, have a project description that includes tolling. It talks about transportation equity, climate change, and VMT. It does include the transit supportive elements we talked about. It does not talk about the use of toll revenue to fund transit inequity. That's not in the project description. And it does include the direct connector at the 8050 interchanges included in the project description in all alternatives. These were elements that we talked about. And, you know, Caltrans being the CEQA lead ultimately made the decision that they felt that it was important to at least environmentally clear the direct connector. Whether or not we fund it and build it is a separate decision, but environmentally clearing it is a priority for them. And it gives us the option of doing that down the road at such time that Caltrans and YCCD determine that it makes sense to do so. And then in terms of the use of toll revenue, again, this is something that is something that we will be discussed in future negotiations once we have, as we get into issues around what does the toll operations look like? What does governance look like? How much revenue are we actually talking about, et cetera? Next slide. Okay, a little bit about the cost of the project. So the current project cost, and this includes the direct connector, the flyover lanes in West Sacramento, is currently estimated at $387 million. There's a phase one project cost, and I'll tell you a bit more about what that means, of $207 million. And this is really, we'll talk more about what that phase one is. We currently have $8 million from SACOG, that was the plan, which is the funding that's being basically used for planning an environmental document that's happening currently. And then we have the $84 million infra grant to YCTD. We now have, I'm excited to say, the opportunity to apply for SB1 trade corridor enhancement programs with support from Caltrans headquarters. This is really in recognition of the change in scope that we've now agreed upon as through the last 10 months, headquarters is now supportive of this project getting money from the TCEP program and is recommending that the CCC provide that award, which is great. So that would be up to $103 million. That's the ask. And then we're hopeful that through SACOG future funding rounds, we would need an additional $10 million that would fund phase one. And that, of course, that still leaves a pretty large gap for the total project cost. But we also have the option of potentially bonding against future toll revenue now that we are talking about a toll lane, if that were an option. So it's something that is potential for later phases of the project. Next slide. I will not go into all of the details of this slide. This is both a detailed funding plan for the TCEP application, and it also talks about the differences, what's in our in phase one versus the full project build out. So the top, there's kind of two large boxes. So the top, if you look, it says phase total project estimate with direct connectors. That is the total project. The cost there you see adds up to $387 million. The lower half of the screen is the what we're calling our TCEP or phase one, which is the construction of managed lanes from Richards Boulevard to the 8050 split in West Sacramento with no direct connector. And it is, as well, this does include the mobility hub in West Sacramento, the bicycle ped improvements on the causeway, and it does include the auxiliary lane in Davis, between UC Davis and Richards Boulevard. And so this just shows you the cost associated with that. And that what's highlighted in yellow is that $10 million that if we were to receive the TCEP application, that additional $10 million is what we think we would need in order to build this phase one. And we think it's reasonable, and we're hopeful that we'd be able to get that through the next one or two SACOG funding rounds. Next slide. Okay, project schedule. And I do see that there's some hands up. I'm just going to try to get through this, and hopefully then we can go through two questions. But Mr. Chair, feel free to interrupt if you disagree. but we're close.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay, all right. We're almost there. So this is just a high-level look at the project schedule. currently, we're off on the left here. The grant application for the Trade Corridor Enhancement Program is due in December. And then we would find out in June whether or not we are awarded that grant. In the meantime, the draft environmental document will be released by Caltrans in April. And then the final environmental document would be approved in December of 2023. So a lot of things happening in the next year, both on the funding piece. And then I didn't put it in here, but the SACOG funding round is also happening in early 2023 as well. And then, assuming that we actually get that funding and we're able to fully fund the project, design would be complete approximately in 2024, and we'd be able to start construction in 2025. Next slide. So staff recommendation before you tonight is to adopt two resolutions related to the project. The first is authorizing me to sign the memorandum of understanding with Caltrans regarding our roles and responsibilities and vision for the project. And the second is to authorize me to support the application to the Trade Corridor Enhancement Program, including signing a cover letter that will be signed by myself, Amarjeet, Tony Tavares, who's the head of Caltrans, and James Corliss from SACOG, that we would all be jointly signing support of this $103 million application. I will just note that the MOU, the cover letter for the TCEP program application and the notice of preparation are all included in your packet. And with that, Mr. Chair, happy to answer your questions and go from there.
Thank you. Autumn, would you remove the slideshow screen so we can see the participant there? Thank you very much. So we do have a question. I'm going to ask that we first hear from board members any questions that you have, and then we'll take public comment and then act on this very significant item for us. I just want to make one additional point. The Transportation Committee of the Sacramento Area Council of Governments had a recommendation last week at our meeting to approve, and we did approve the recommendation from SACOG staff to prioritize this project as the only priority project being supported by SACOG for this TCEP funding. And the reason for that is this is one of the mega region projects, and it's a project that has high significance for our entire region. There were other projects that are also being forwarded, but this one was identified as the sole regional priority that's going forward. So with that, thank you for your indulgence on that. And Mr. Stallard, you have your hand up and have been very patiently waiting for your turn to ask a question or make a comment.
A rare moment of patience, Don. Thank you, Autumn. We're in this real world where we have this surge of people coming from the Bay Area on Friday afternoon and evening to get to Lake Tahoe. It's been going on for years, and they're all using GPS systems like Waze, or at least lots are. And when ADCs is up, they're on to 113 over to 5 to try to get around it. 5 only has 2 lanes, as you know. So this has been a huge problem for us because we don't have connectors between 113 and 5. East Main seizes up too. Now, obviously, we'd love it if everybody took the bus instead or took the train instead. But these are families in many cases. They're going to second homes. Some people may not be sympathetic to that, but it's a reality. Are we considering that issue at all in this process?
Well, which issue are you?
Pardon me, Don?
In terms of the cut-through traffic? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Well, the surge that occurs every Friday afternoon, and basically it adds to the normal lockup on 80 and forces additional traffic north and east on 113 and 5.
Hmm. Yeah, so thank you for clarifying. Yes, absolutely. I think that what we'll see with this corridor is in some corridors, we only do kind of lanes are only actively managed during commute hours, weekday mornings and weekday afternoons. But I think that this is a very different corridor in that sense. And it's not just Friday evenings. It's Saturday afternoons. It's Sunday afternoons. I think as part of our lane management, we have to look at weekends and we have to look at looking at some kind of innovative approaches when we think about what's considered a carpool and who's going for free. In LA County, the LA Metro is doing some looking at actually in some places where they have a similar problem with like large numbers of people going on vacation, looking at actually carpools being free only if you have five or more people during certain hours, for example. And that if you have three or four people, you're actually still paying a toll, a smaller toll, but nonetheless, in recognition of the fact that we do have very high vehicle occupancy in some of these kind of long distance, trips that are passing through. So I think these are all issues that we absolutely have to look at. Otherwise, it would be really unfortunate to spend all this money and have a situation that's still failing, on Friday evenings. And I also think it's part of the reason that we have to look at not just one toll lane, but explore the idea of converting one of the general purpose lanes to a toll lane, because we know that when things seize up, when the lanes that are tolled, you actually get more vehicles moving through at that time. And so if you have two lanes instead of one that are moving, then you can, that's twice as many cars that are not desperately getting off on 113 and County Road 102 trying to look for other options. So I think those are some of the ways that at least I'm thinking about it.
I just hope it will be recalled that there are impacts beyond 80 itself. Certainly 113 and 5 are in the mix because people are using these apps that will send them where the traffic is lighter. Thank you.
Yeah, we probably have a couple other examples around the region of those impacts as well. 128, for example, I know has some similar impacts, and I know
how about Mace Boulevard.
I've heard of that being a problem. Okay, very good. Any other questions from board members? Okay, are there any members of the public who'd like to address us on this topic?
We do have one public comment from Mr. Hirsch, promoting him to panelists as we speak.
Okay, very good. Alan, you have 3 minutes, please. I think, there he is. Okay, yes, Alan, you have 3 minutes, please.
Hi, thank you very much. You probably don't know what I'm put in. I'm blacked out for about 10 seconds when the transfer of things. So I miss things at the very end of the beginning of comments. If you look at the revised notice of preparation, there are three paragraphs describing the project background, and only in the very, very last sentence is there an acknowledgement that there's congestion during the recreation on weekends and holidays. Tom called out that being one of the causing things, and somehow this is almost a footnote here. We're talking about congestion at rush hour periods, but really the problem is the recreational time. That's what's driving these things. And we have families going up there, which means your HOV lanes, they're already HOV lanes. Putting in HOV lanes does not change the capacity, does not basically encourage behavior change. Well, the point of HOV lanes was to encourage carpooling. You already have people carpooling with families up there. This is a very tough project. This tests us and our ability to basically morally decide what's the future of our planet. Caltrans, in its 2050 plan, calls for planning for 3.5 foot sea level rise. That's going to be in the causeway. We already have tides in the causeway. We're going to get flooding there very significantly. It may affect the flooding of Davis. This is climate change. This is a crisis. You don't even call out climate change as a primary issue in your, you say environmental stewardship. If we have a climate crisis, if this is really important, then this should be called up explicitly in your vision, and it should be the number one thing on this thing. I'm sorry, getting to Sacramento another 15 minutes earlier compared to climate change, losing summer days, wildfires, there's just no comparison. It's not commiserate. I know this is tough. I know people want a magical solution, and you suggest on your on the staff memo that basically we're going to basically reduce congestion at rush hour and improve pre-travel times. Autumn told you, we saw her last January, that basically we know we're going to get 100%, 10% more capacity is 10% more people driving. You're going to congest it up. You're not going to get a solution. You're going to get a five or eight-year solution. A couple of our board members are going to be dead. I may be dead in 8 years, but my daughter and our grandchildren are going to live on. This is a tough one. You need to basically do the right thing, not what's the popular thing. You guys are going to be out of office by the time the climate change happens, before the 3.5 feet. You need to act now. I know this is hard. I know people don't want a magical solution to widen freeways. It's just not going to happen. So I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading you for the future of the planet. I'm pleading with you for our children and our grandchildren. Don't widen the freeway. Anything that basically adds capacity moves us in the wrong direction. Anything. Please don't do this thing. Toll lanes won't solve the problem. Giving the San Mateo project that autonomous out, they gave money to the Coors 5 or 8%. That does not mitigate the problem of climate change. It does not address the climate inequalities for the other 80% of the middle class and working class of the people. You can't buy yourself out of this thing unless the toll money is used for carbon offsets. This is no game. You can't widen this freeway. Thank you for listening. I know this is tough, but you need to do the right thing.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. All right. So that brings it back. I have a question that the topic, there were a number of topics that are still on the drawing board for discussion. One of them is the creation of a tolling authority. And of course, the tolling authority can determine how any revenues generated by one or more tolling lanes or managed lanes would be expended, whether it's, as our speaker has suggested, for carbon offsets or for equity investments in the surrounding neighborhoods. The tolling authority would be where those kinds of decisions would be made, or in recovery of some portion of the capital investment or maintenance of the facility itself. So a lot of different things that could be done with that. I would like to suggest that we have that topic come back to us in the near term for discussion about how we might approach the governance, or autumn, if not tonight, but at another point, not too distant future, you might suggest to the board ways of approaching that topic with our regional partners and Caltrans. That would be, I think that might be useful. And I'd say, Tom, that your comments about one of the purposes that the current facilities serve inadequately, as we know, that's one of the purposes that it serves. It also serves as a freight movement. It serves as a transit artery in our region. And it does serve also for vehicles where they're occupied by a single driver for much of the work world, from people going from the Sacramento area region to the Bay Area, or going simply from Sacramento to Woodland or Davis for work or other points to the west. So I think it's a multi-purpose facility. And I think the advantage I see in this project is that it allows us to look to work hard to make sure that transit's needs are served in the lanes that we're talking about. Allows us to regulate the flow and the speed in a variety of ways that we can manage once we've got the intelligent transit system installed. So I think we've got a lot of opportunities here with this facility used in a more efficient, well-managed manner that will allow us to address concerns that we've got and concerns that our public at large is experiencing. So I want to thank Caltrans for the hard work that they've invested, Greg in particular, in getting us to the point of agreement on so many of these topics. We still have work to do together, but I think we're setting a framework for progress and success with this project. The fact that we've got support from SACOG staff and the Transportation Committee, I believe the board will act that way too, for this $103 million request. And we've got a nod of likely support from Caltrans headquarters. I think we've got an opportunity to put the rest of the pieces together in the near term. So, Lucas, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of quick things. I mean, I first appreciate all the work by staff on this particular item. I know it has been quite an iterative process, and so appreciate, sort of really the both, particularly Autumn and outside counsel or contract counsel Kirk Trost in this. I think, and any other staff that were involved, and it was a team effort, certainly, but I think that, I also appreciate Caltrans, and their, you know, it's been, I would say not as, you know, I mean, it wasn't entirely smooth sailing, I would say. It seems that way now, much more so, and really, you know, really appreciate all the energy and effort that's gone into it. You know, I think the key, of course, is we're trying to get it right. And so anything that is, you know, worth doing, you know, is worth doing well. So I think really appreciate you, you know, all the time and energy it's taken to get to this point. I think a couple other quick points. One, really appreciate to hear that the auxiliary lane item is still sort of, you know, as part of this, that we know very well that there are a lot of highway users on from 113, especially, but frankly, from Woodland as well, all length of 113 in Davis that are trying to access, you know, a smooth, easier sort of transition between 113 and 80. And a lot of folks are using and getting off, Richards as an example. So, any, you know, having it be go from, you know, 4 lanes to 6 lanes down to 3 lanes in a very short span of time, has created regularly creates a pretty big parking lot, out in front of the university. So I think that the auxiliary lane item is something that is very important, for us to continue to, sort of push forward. I also really appreciate one of the points, of course, of this, is, you know, working closely between the two Caltrans districts, right? I think it's one thing to have District 3 and, you know, District 4 working closely together. I mean, we're fortunate to have, you know, to straddle our region or county is fortunate to straddle right on the edge between those two districts. And, you know, there isn't sort of imaginary line there that, you know, officially divides the districts, you know, sort of, within Caltrans, but I think it's very important that, we make sure that they don't, sort of are not siloed from each other. So that continued sort of work together and coordination is going to be very important, especially considering that, you know, District 4 and Solano County to our west are engaged in a somewhat similar project, even as we speak. So, that stretch of 80, from Vacaville through Fairfield is definitely very much under construction. Really appreciate, you know, that we're going to need to work very closely with District 4 in addition to, of course, this being a District 3 project. I appreciate Director Stallard's comments, you know, around the issues of the sort of, I mean, say unintended consequences of, you know, the use of the apps, certainly, but also just folks trying, you know, there's two ways to get across the causeway, basically, 5 and 80 and, you know, the River Road. And most of those people are not taking the River Road, thankfully, but there are even an awful lot of people taking the River Road to try and get from, Woodland to West Sacramento, especially in sort of peak hours. So, you know, very few ways to sort of get across, east, west in our region, and across this sort of geographic body. So I think it's, you know, we all experience the effects of many people from our west trying to go to our east and on a regular basis. And, you know, it's just sort of where our luck of was to where we're at in the region. But I mean, that's been the sort of the goal of this project all along is to help facilitate, you know, additional capacity, but also do it in a way that has, you know, increased transit benefits, as well. And I mean, I think that's going to continue to be a key. And also, I do appreciate Director Saylor, you're raising the comments with the chair, around, the sort of tolling authority. I mean, I think it's a great idea for a future discussion. You know, it's going to take legislation at some point, to allow for that to happen. So, you know, there's obviously the governance discussions and such too, but, you know, having a discussion at our board, I think is pretty important considering that, you know, we've got, you know, our friends in the legislature, you know, getting ready to sort of formulate their bill packages for the coming legislative session. So, you know, if the next year or the next 2 years in that session is appropriate to be moving this forward, we should really be considering the timing of that. So appreciate you letting us have some discussion on this item. Thank you. And I'm happy to move the item as well too.
Okay, very good. We have a motion and that's for the two resolutions.
That is correct.
Okay. And, do we have a second for the motion before we continue discussion? Tom, I don't know if you're...
I noticed Jesse had her hand up. Did she get her question answered?
I don't know if she were... Did you want to ask a question before seconding the motion, or did you... We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I wasn't seconding the motion. I just wanted to make a comment, but Matt actually had his hand up first.
All right. We have a motion. I was going to ask for a second and continue the discussion. Is there a second for the motion? And then we continue the discussion.
I will second.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Matt, did you have a comment or question?
I'll be real brief, and thank you for Director Lauren for that. I think from the UC Davis perspective, we see this project as getting better and better as it progresses. It's attracting more funding. It's answering some of these core questions and still focusing on the equity and improvements that could come with this project. So it's super impressive to see YCTD and Caltrans making the progress and making this connection into Sacramento be a kind of future leading project that kind of shows the state about the way to build more freeways, but also make them more equitable and more attractive to transit and more attractive to investments in transit. I think as our commuters watch buses zip by, that is another incentive to get out of your car and get into a bus. And hopefully that will be the case with this project. So very impressed with the project, and thank you to Autumn for all the work. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you, Matt. Jesse?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I wanted to just amplify the voices of all the directors that have made statements before me, Director Stoller, Director Frericks, and of course, Matt. I think this is definitely coming along and in the right direction. But I also wanted to amplify one of the comments by our public comment, Alan Hirsch, that we do have climate change. It is real. It is happening. If there's a way to kind of elevate that portion in the work, I think it does need to be elevated. And then lastly, along with Director Stollard's comment, Winners sees such an influx coming through the weekend by people that are traveling exactly from west to east. And it's down 128. It's around new streets that have now come through town that didn't used to be thoroughfares. And we don't have the capacity for that, for a 2.9 square mile town to have that level of traffic. So it is important to get this right and to get people to be encouraged to stay on the roads that are made for them to travel in mass. And I see that as a priority. So those are my comments.
Thank you. Very good. Anything further? Autumn, we're about to take the vote. Do you have any other comments?
I just wanted to respond to one thing, which is around the idea of the kind of the governance and establishment of a tolling authority piece. We did just last week select WSP to be our technical advisors for working on this project going forward, and they bring a wealth of experience on, you know, kind of the soup to nuts from establishing tolling authorities. What does it take to get them there? Kind of the concept of operations, you know, establishing tolls, et cetera. So I think, you know, once we have that contract approved, then, you know, one of the first things I think we want to do is kind of lay out, you know, what are those different steps? You know, what do we need to know? What do we need to understand in terms of the process going forward? So that'll give us some of the tools and information we need, I think, to, you know, to bring some of that, of those next steps to the board in an informed way.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you for that update. Okay, we have a motion from Director Frericks with a second from Director Lauren. I think we're ready to call the roll. I think you asked if Yolo County votes, and I vote yes.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento is absent. City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes.
So Autumn, this was a tremendous amount of work on your part for many, many months, and Greg, you too. So, and also Director Ledesma and Dulcich, myself, working with all of you. It's been a good slog. And this is a good product for us at this point. More work to do, but this is very good progress. So thank you all. And that brings us, and Kirk, there you are. I see you're still there, and this must be pretty good if we don't have to ask the lawyer any questions. So that's very good. Thank you for all your work, Kirk. So now we'll come to item 5, which is a hallmark of our work together. And I wish that Director Ledesma was with us for this, because he's been a champion for this work that we do together. But we'll have to work in his memory tonight, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So very, very pleased to be bringing this. And of course, before all of these breakthroughs on the 80 project, I thought this was going to be the big topic of conversation tonight. But here we are. So we are here to talk about our vision, our statement of vision, values, and priorities. And this is really a kind of a first step towards strategic planning. So by way of context, we currently do not have a strategic plan or long-range plan for YCCD, at least not one that I've ever seen. But we do have a vision, values, and priorities, which was adopted in January 2020. We do have a much broader mandate under our authorizing legislation, AB 2420, which was passed in 1996. And we have been moving toward that broader mandate for several years, as the discussion we just talked about illustrates. But we don't really have anything articulated about what it is that we're trying to do with projects like the YOLO 80 managed lanes and like our YOLO active transportation corridors. And so as well, questions came up about our long-term financial sustainability as part of our budget process. We are relying on one-time recovery funds to make ourselves whole at the moment. And so as we kind of think about the convergence of these threads, it seemed to make sense to us that we need to start looking at a 10-year strategic plan that really focuses on where do we want to be? How do we want to, think about our broader mandate? And then what are the implications of where we want to go? Then how do we sort of work backwards to understand what do we need to do to get there, both in terms of policy, in terms of projects, and of course, in terms of financial sustainability. So we're going to recommend that as part of this year's work plan, which will be coming to you next month, that we prepare a 10-year strategic plan. And this is really just a first conversation that's really meant to help inform that thinking. Next slide. So this is our existing vision, values, and priorities. It's in every board packet right after the agenda. We have our vision, which is that we enjoy innovative and efficient mobility options that connect people to places we want it to go. We have this list of values here. These are our core values that describe our organizational and individual behaviors and help us to live out our vision. And then on the next slide is our list of priorities, which align our vision and values with our implementation strategies. So this is the existing vision that we have. And as we think about how this might evolve, I wanted to first go ahead to the next slide, Mimi, share a little bit about our authorizing legislation, AB 2420. We can go to the next slide. There it is. Okay. So under AB 2420, this was the legislation that passed that converted us from the YOLO County Transportation Authority to the YOLO County Transportation District. Some of the folks here probably know the history better than I do, why that was done at the time that it was. But nonetheless, it did articulate these statutorily mandated duties for us. We are, of course, the public transit provider, and I'd say that's the one we've been squarely doing all of these years. We're also the congestion management agency, which means that we are required to plan for congestion management, and that includes adoption of a congestion management plan under congestion management law. This is the congestion management agency kind of delegation is a common one. I'll say a bit more about it, but this is really what countywide entities that plan and deliver large transportation projects like YOLO and 80 managed lanes, this is in many, often times, this is the authority that they use to do things like that. Number 3, Consolidated Transportation Services Agency. This is really meant to sort of act as coordinator for services that help transport people who have mobility challenges, whether they're ADA, low-income seniors, et cetera. The purpose here to serve is to make sure that we're coordinating all of those various services, that they're happening effectively. I would say we do some amount of this. We probably could be doing more, but this is definitely something that dovetails well with being the public transit provider. As well, we are mandated to coordinate transportation planning, programming, and prioritization countywide. I'd say this is something that we don't currently do. And we are also mandated to coordinate state and federal funding applications for transportation projects as appropriate. And this is also something that we don't currently do. Next slide. We also, there are things that AB 2420 says that we may do at the discretion of the board of directors. And these include advocating for transportation system interests, funding projects and priorities. This one was really interesting to me. I was really struck when I went to CAP for the first time this year, which I know most of you all were there as well. When I saw my colleagues from Placer County and Sacramento County that had their own special day of CAP meetings where they were coordinating all of the transportation priorities for their county and having their own meetings to talk about those priorities, I thought, huh, this is something that Yolo County doesn't do at all. And maybe that's something that we ought to be doing. How are we leveraging CAP to really make sure we're getting, you know, Yolo County's needs met as part of that? And that's just one example, but I think it's a good one because it's one we all participate in. Another optional duty is to plan for funding transportation projects within its jurisdiction. Again, this kind of goes in hand with congestion management planning, sort of saying what are the transportation projects of regional significance? You know, how much do they cost? What do they need to do? And how do we figure out how to get them built? Another optional duty is become the federal designated recipient for Yolo County. This is just a thing about whether or not funds could flow directly to us rather than through Caltrans and SACOG. And then fourth, last but not least, impose a transportation sales tax measure with voter approval. And this is, you know, essentially to become a self-help county that has a local source of revenue that we're able to, you know, match to help bring in big dollars from state and federal who require matching funds. Obviously not a very big and daunting proposition, but nonetheless, one that we are authorized to do. Next slide. So with that kind of context, I wanted to kind of quickly touch on a few examples from peer agencies. You know, the roles that are outlined in AB 2420 are not uncommon. This is pretty consistent, actually, across California, that most counties have some kind of a JPA, Joint Powers Authority, that coordinates, plans, funds, and delivers major projects. That entity usually does serve as the congestion management agency. And in places where they have a sales tax program, they often are the administrator of that sales tax program. And a handful of those agencies are also the transit provider. The two examples that I'm aware of are LA Metro and the Valley Transportation Authority in Silicon Valley, where they are both the congestion management agency and the transit provider. It's actually, in most places, it's one or the other. And that often has to do with the fact that in many counties, you know, you have a countywide transportation authority, but then it's the cities who actually run their transit services. Currently, there is no agency in Yolo County serving that role of the kind of congestion management agency that convenes, coordinates plans and funds around projects of countywide significance. And this may limit our efficacy in attracting state and regional funds, because really what it means is that each of the jurisdictions is kind of out doing it on their own and coordinating when coordination makes sense. But there is not that kind of orchestrated planning effort happening. Next slide. So Solano Transportation Authority, our neighbors to the west, they are the Congestion Management Authority and the Consolidated Transportation Service Agency. That's it. Those are their two statutory mandates. But they do coordinate, plan, and deliver fairly massive projects, including the express lanes that are currently being built in Solano County. Their mission is to improve the quality of life in Solano County by delivering transportation projects to ensure mobility, travel safety, and economic vitality for all. So you can see their mission is really focused on project delivery. That's what they're focused on, is how do we deliver the projects? And that's, you know, clearly something that we see when you look at the growth of the freeway and the road system in Solano County over the last 20 years. You can really see the impact that they have made. Next slide. Then I pulled in Valley Transportation Authority, again, because this is one of the handful of agencies that is both a transit agency, transit provider, as well as a countywide transportation agency. So they do it all. They're the congestion management agency. They're the consolidated transportation service agency. They're a transit provider. They administer their transportation sales tax measure, and they are a tolling authority. They are the tolling authority for the express lanes in their county. So they kind of check all of the boxes. their vision is very focused on their kind of Silicon Valley. It's very Silicon Valley-esque to innovate the way Silicon Valley moves. They have their core values here. And their overarching strategies, there's three of them, one of which is focused on transit that is fast, frequent, and reliable. The second is around creatively and pragmatically providing a full suite of projects and programs that address the current and evolving mobility needs of Silicon Valley. So they're really marking multimodal, right? This is very multimodal, this statement. And then third, lead the region in transportation system management, funding, integration, and innovation. This is really the planning and project delivery piece. Next slide. The final one, I wanted to just do a nod to SACOG, which of course is a very different agency, but also one that has a very broad mandate that includes transportation. They have a huge number of state and federal statutory responsibilities. I'm not even going to try to list them all. And it's also important. It's not just transportation, it's housing and land use. So they cast a very wide net. But they're currently updating their strategic plan. And so this is the draft, but it's that they have a vibrant and thriving Sacramento region for all. Their mission is to convene and connect the region to advance an equitable, sustainable, and prosperous future. And they have three of their four priorities are transportation focused. The first is really about placemaking. The second is around fostering the next generation of mobility, modernizing the way we pay for transportation infrastructure. Again, that's kind of that project delivery piece, and building and maintaining a safe, equitable, and resilient transportation system. So go to the next slide. We did get some input from the TAC and the CAC. We asked them for their feedback and reflection on this. And we heard, similar to the comment that was made tonight by Mr. Hirsch, that the value of environmental stewardship ought to be more specific. We should be talking about climate. We should be talking about electric vehicles. We should be talking about environmental justice. That we have a lot of values, but maybe that's too many, and also being aware of the order in which they appear. We talk about cutting edge technology, but we should be cutting edge in lots of ways, not just from a technology perspective. And we should be adaptive to our changing conditions and needs. Things are changing very quickly in Yolo County and in the region as a whole. And how are we really embracing adaptability? And then as far as our priorities, yes, we heard from both ATAC and CAC that it should be expanded to planning for other modes, but also recognizing that YCT is not the owner-operator of public right-of-way. That responsibility falls to the county and the cities and Caltrans. So we are not the ones who are actually managing those facilities, but we are planning, and we can help deliver those projects and make sure they're operated properly. Transit should remain a central priority. And we need to ensure that our priorities are aligned with and supportive of those of the member jurisdictions. Next slide. So this is my last slide. Just wanted to throw out a couple of discussion questions, and then we'll open it up to your comments and feedback. But what we're really looking for tonight is your, initial kind of reflection, reactions to the content we're presenting tonight, and your thoughts on these questions. What are the external and internal forces that are driving all these changes at YCTD? Of course, the COVID, all these new projects and priorities we're working on, like YOLO 80, staff and board turnover. And so how should our vision and values and priorities change to reflect those new forces? What's missing from our current vision, values, and priorities? And conversely, what's there, if anything, that's no longer useful? And then how do we actually want to use the vision, values, and priorities going forward? To inform, to get our work both on strategic planning, but also in our just kind of day-to-day work and, in these meetings and with CAC and TAC. So I'll just leave those questions there for you to consider. And that concludes my presentation, Mr. Chair. Happy to answer questions.
Thank you. And we can, do you want to leave these questions up for people to reflect on?
That's at your discretion.
I prefer to see the faces of the people. And if we take just a moment before we turn this off, I think what Autumn is giving us the opportunity to do is to provide some reflection. We're not going to vote on anything this evening. And then we're not even searching for consensus. We're looking more for what resonates with you. What do you see as the external and internal forces? What's missing from the existing vision, values, and priorities? Or what's no longer useful, and how should these these pieces be used to guide the work of the board committees and staff. So I think if you would take the slide off, now we can look at the, be good to look at each other a little bit. Would anyone like to make some comments to begin the conversation? If you don't, I'm going to have to start myself. That, you don't want that. Jesse?
I remember being at Cap to Cap and Autumn saying, we should be convening with the region so we could make regional plans together. And I was like, what a great find when we found Autumn Bernstein as our leader. But I wanted to just mention that when I'm reading all the priorities, I'm very aware of the environmental sustainability that we have in our as one of our priorities. It really seems to be a need to call a need for environmental resilience. And what I'm thinking about is that week, the week of high heat days, where our Proterra buses were really struggling with their electronics, and we definitely depended on our CNG. We had to have redundancies in our system that would work. Even if our priority was electric, our CNG is what saved the day. So we needed the resilience in our planning more than we needed the just the direction of sustainability. So to me, the resilience is more important in our planning. I'll start it with that.
Okay. You know, I was drawn also to the phrasing around in our existing documents around environmentally sustainable operations. I remember when we did that, our intention was to be addressing climate resilience, but that's a pretty confining concept, that the way it's currently worded. I think that we are truly looking at all the work we do to not just have our own operations be efficient and environmentally sustainable, but our mission, our purpose itself is a contribution to a climate resilience. Transit itself, transportation mobility, active transportation opportunities, all of our footprint is in climate resilience and response to climate change. So I think we know that at a level, and I think we can articulate it more profoundly than more robustly than we have.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, please, Tom.
Yeah, the wonderful thing about this is we see how many factors have to go into, you know, we call government sausage making. You know, we've got to balance a lot of different things here. It can't be all environment. It has to deal with practical reality, and people have to work for a living. They have to get to work, you know, and parents have to get children to childcare, and, you know, all these realities are part of it. And so, you know, I think we just have to do the best we can of giving appropriate attention to all these important issue areas, sift them, and then settle where we can. I might just mention, I'm the longest serving guy at SACOG, and I've watched a lot, and we got to the discussion of land use because we thought, why are we doing transportation planning without regard to land use? You know, you really have to know what the patterns on the land are or are going to be to effectively create your transportation corridors and develop land appropriately adjacent there too. So that's why SACOG has moved so aggressively into that area and encouraged transit-oriented development, which is very sensible. Thinking about our own county, our jurisdictions are pretty, you know, they were pretty selfish about our own land use decisions. We really don't talk to one another much about those decisions, and that may be fine. But I think probably it's something even for us to consider is, what are our transportation corridors in this area? When we talk about a Class A bike lane between Woodland and Davis, that's a great regional project. Everybody will benefit, and I don't think there will be any opposition. But other issues may be a little more sensitive, as we have to confront the necessity of perhaps giving up a prerogative in favor of a better outcome for everybody. So I see, I'm very encouraged by the whole direction this Transit District is going, Transportation District is going, and I'm pretty excited. I think the point-to-point transit is going to be more user-friendly and may get more people around and really address their human needs. So anyway, that's just a few general comments to throw in the mix. I'm pretty happy with the briefing, Autumn. I think you've really hit the major points. So not much to add.
You know, one of the thoughts in the, it was either the CAC or the TAC was align our the YCTD's efforts should be aligned with the member jurisdictions' priorities. And I would like to take that a step farther and have the phrasing be, if we include phrasing along these lines, that the jurisdiction, that we will work with the jurisdictions to arrive at shared and aligned priorities. Because it may be that on some issues, YCTD would be the leader of those issues, would be the convener, would be the synthesizer, not necessarily putting their finger up in the wind and, you know, see which way the jurisdictions want to go. That on some issues is perfectly reasonable, but on others, we want to be more of an actor, I think.
I like the word convener, Don, you know.
Yeah, and that's consistent with our work at SACOG, where we've talked about that as one of our roles. Mr. Dulcich, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Chair Saylor, yes, thank you. I do. I think that same theme of convener, there might be an opportunity for the district that's worth exploring. I think many of the cities in Yolo County have these common themes that are things people agree on. It's less of the disagrees and it's more of the we agree. And it's things like ag land preservation, downtown redevelopment, affordable housing, new housing supply. And maybe that's a role of the district is to aggregate those ideas, bring them together and help celebrate. These are the things we agree on. How do we make it happen? And how does the district play a role in that? That would be an interesting theme to consider. Maybe it's a forum every other year or staff to staff or elected officials, but thinking of it that way would be another opportunity for the district.
Very good. Lucas, do you have something you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think a few things. I mean, I think I do appreciate the input from the TAC and CAC on this item. And I think, you know, there were a couple of some, I think, pretty good questions that were asked, especially as it relates to issues around, you know, sort of the list of values and, you know, sort of, you know, do they, you know, the way that they're listed, is that sort of some sort of hierarchical ranking of importance? And, you know, I think the answer is no, but I also would just say, you know, it doesn't look awesome to have equity and social justice be the last item listed, you know, when we supposedly think it's a really high, you know, value. So I think that, you know, if you want to put them like, you know, alphabetically, whatever, how it is, I'm not quite sure how they are, you know, sort of, I don't recall any of our discussions being collaboration is our top value, followed by efficiency, followed by transparency, you know, sort of in sort of any kind of ranked order. But so I think there needs to be some sort of at least visual adjustment there, to at a minimum. I do think that the, you know, I guess I would ask Director Lauren, I appreciated her comments about the sort of the issues around resilience. I think that is very important. I don't think it's a substitute or replacement of environmental stewardship though. Like and I thought I heard, you know, her comments around environmental resilience should maybe be in lieu of environmental stewardship or, you know, and I think that they're different items. So, I think with her comments around, especially around like the heat, you know, sort of the heat wave and the issues that we were experiencing, I think are exactly correct. But I think that that environmental resilience is a bit different than environmental stewardship. So, anyway, just wanted to sort of, you know, ask for a little bit of clarification potentially, or if that's going to be an additional item that's added to the mix. Curious about that. And, thanks very much for the opportunity to make some comments.
Jesse, you wanted
to? It was environmental sustainability was the one that I was responding to. That sustainability and resilience are different. That stewardship wasn't what I was talking about, but I do value stewardship and I do think that is our responsibility. The resilience portion just to me seems like a verb like it's an action, you know, that calls to mind that we're working towards resilience, no matter how hot or no matter how, you know, dry, that we're working on it. That was what was behind my comment. Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate that clarification. As I'm looking at the document as well, too. I mean, there are two different places, one that says environmental stewardship and one that says environmentally sustainable. So I don't know, maybe that's where we're sort of just not quite, you know, we're not talking about the same one potentially, I guess. So the values have environmental stewardship and I do think your points are important around resilience. So in that would be, so I don't know if that ends up being just an individual value or if it ends up being a district-wide priority, but would appreciate, you know, maybe some clarification from staff too. It would be helpful to hear what your thoughts are there.
So we've got some work to do on that topic. Before we go, okay, Autumn, go ahead.
Just to say, you know, I failed to put in a slide about next steps at the end, but what we are planning to do is kind of take your feedback and then coming up with a revised draft to bring to you at your next meeting. So you'll see, so, you know, we'll noodle on all this and you'll see that next time.
Greg, I'd appreciate it if you have any comments, if you'd share them.
Frankly, I don't think we can have too many values. I mean, I think what you put together here is a great foundation for your organization. And, you know, something I'm working with my team, you know, I'm trying to discuss with them my values, right? So I love the discussion. You guys got a great product. You got great leadership. I just would maybe suggest don't limit yourself. You know, just keep up the good work.
Thank you. Autumn, we have a, thank you, Greg. And Autumn, we have a one public comment before we go to that and then we hear your sense of what you've heard and of what the next steps are. That sound okay? Okay. We have a, Mimi, would you let Mr. Hirsch in to make his comment? And we look forward to,
yes,
to what he's got to say. Alan, can you hear me? We haven't said a word since you...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for your courtesy, Don.
We'll time you for three minutes.
Autumn slides are amazing.
3 minutes, okay.
Thank you very much. I'll watch my watch here. Autumn's slides are amazing. I really appreciate them. She really narrows it down. Could you send them out ahead of the meeting? Any possibility, even if they'll miss the tag, send them out Monday morning or something so the public can see them in advance because we have to make ad hoc comments. Thank you so much. I appreciate Jesse's raising up climate change as an important value. Thank you for that. That's really important. And I want to distinguish between what's strategic and what's kind of tactical. Resilience may be tactical. We need to address the tactical, but the strategic stuff is climate change, I think. And also, with part of resilience is our democracy is under attack. We need to make sure that our processes are resilient and can address public participation. And I'm concerned that basically we don't measure public participation in our values here. We may want to add that. And again, I made a number of suggestions at the CAC meeting that didn't make it into the CAC minutes. That's a disappointment. I'm sure you'll go back and review that, but this is a good start. And the other comment is culture eats strategy for lunch. If you have a bad culture, if you don't be inclusive and you take lots of input, it will eat your strategy. You'll be eaten alive. And Autumn, I think, is doing a great job in that regard. I think we're well thinking, but I think talking about the internal culture of the organization, I think is also important. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ellen. Very good. Board members, any further comment before we let Autumn wrap up this section of our meeting? Okay, Autumn, where do you take this from here?
Yeah, well, I really appreciate hearing all the feedback. And, you know, some things that I'm taking away from this, I appreciated the in-depth kind of nuanced conversation about environmental sustainability, as well as environmental resilience, and that we need both. And we definitely felt that, during that heat wave for sure. It was challenging. And I also really appreciated the comment that, you know, it's not just about what kind of buses that we're operating, like just operating more buses and having more people on the bus is an important environmental benefit that we can provide. And so thinking more broadly and having people on bikes and having people on scooters and having people carpooling, these are all environmental values we can provide. So thinking about that more expansively. And it was really interesting to, the Tom brought up the idea of kind of talking about land use and some of these other more sensitive issues and the idea of us kind of working, you know, with our member jurisdictions and, you know, following their lead and sometimes and other times asking more difficult questions, where maybe we're more leading. And, I was, as you were talking about that, I was just reflecting on the way that this work has been going down with the Yolawedi managed lanes where we are checking in with the city managers and talking and the public works directors and talking about what we're doing there, but it is very much YCTD that's in the driver's seat on that. Right. And making sure that they know what we're doing and are comfortable with what we're doing. And so it's just interesting to think about that dance. And I appreciate that nuance and want to spend some more time thinking about that. And this convener role, finding common ground and the idea of a biannual event or something, that's pretty cool. So I just appreciate all of the expansive thinking. You guys are even more expansive than I thought you would be. And so I just appreciate that. And looking forward to, the next iteration.
Thank you. And I really appreciated that you started with the statutory authority, because this is a unique agency. It was unique at its inception, and the language that gives us a scope and responsibility and authority, it goes far beyond what YCTD has pursued over the past decades. And we're starting to move into some of the areas that the founders initially anticipated would be wise to have an agency ready to do. And so to be able to take a look at VTA and Solano Transportation Authority and to reflect on how others have pursued those missions, I couldn't be more excited about the future of this agency and the work that we can do here on the big projects, on the big ideas, and on making sure that we tend to our operations as well. So I think we're really on a wonderful trajectory. So thanks. And we couldn't have said that a couple of years ago. We were wondering where we'd be. So good job, all. Okay.
Don, also, we're going to see some changes on this board in a very few months. So I think this whole discussion is very timely. I don't even know that it needs to be concluded until our new colleagues join us. But, right. And those leaving us can be feel so good about what they've helped make happen in recent years. I'm looking at you, Don. and Lucas, I hope you have a rebirth. going from mayor to supervisor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're hoping.
We want to see you right back here on this board.
Well, I think we've done our work for the day. Thanks, Tom, for those comments. And I think, Jesse, you want to have a conclusion?
I do think when I'm looking at our values, I do see Yolo County residents enjoy innovative and efficient mobility options. That's kind of the most that we say about multimodal. I wouldn't mind if I think it'd be a good idea to have a little bit stronger language about multimodal in there, because we've worked so hard over the last year and a half to 2 years on kind of driving the bus towards that. So I think that stronger language in that area could be used. Thank you for indulging me on that.
Okay, very good. Okay, and with thank you for sharing, and with no further ado, we'll adjourn, and our next meeting is sometime in the future. I guess it's November 14th. See you all then.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great night, all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.